This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I've just thought of that on the way over here. It's only a short walk, about 5 to 7 minutes, but that's convenient for me. It's convenient.
It was worth it.
I forgot that it was midday. I was making notes about what we're going to talk about in the show, and we started, what, 10 seconds late?
We did. Well, yeah, maybe about 10 seconds late. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is...
But Natalie, through the glass, looked at me like I was the worst piece of shit that she'd ever seen. Like, it's the worst thing anyone's ever done at FUBAR Radio. And I find that impossible to believe.
Yeah. I mean, we've been on for weeks. We've done much worse.
Well, it's officially the afternoon now. It's 10 seconds to 1 minute past 12. I'm Nick Helm.
I'm Nathaniel Metcalf.
And this is Nick Helm and...
Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
First rule of fan club,
tell your friends about fan club.
And the second rule of fan club, please
tell your friends.
Honestly, tell your friends. It's pathetic how many retweets we get.
I don't know if you've had any.
I've come off Twitter, so I'm not even checking it. So anyone that's got anything to tweet me, pop it in an envelope to Glorious Management, and my agent will deal with it.
Four likes, one retweet.
Do you know what? I don't understand likes.
No, I don't. I don't know who it's for.
It's a bit like, you see someone and they've written a nice joke and you'll read the joke and you'll go, I enjoy that, but I'm not going to let anyone else read it.
I want it for myself.
I'm not going to share the glory. I'm just going to, it's very, very clever. Very clever, but I'm going to stamp it down so that, I am the Twitter king. That's kind of like the attitude, I think, for the like button.
Yes.
And I just think, just share
it. It's like telling the person that's done it, they go, I liked it, but not enough to tell other people.
It's like you go, I'm doing a show at the Soho Theatre. It starts Monday the 11th and it's there for a week. And someone just likes it. And you go, share it. Tell people that I'm doing it, for the love of God. Otherwise, it's just me with some props.
So tell your friends.
If you're a prop comedian. So that's the second rule.
Yeah.
What have you been up to this week, Nat? What have you been a fan of, Nat?
Well, I've been mainly a fan of trying to write my own Edinburgh show and panicking.
Yeah.
But I take the odd time out to do some... watch something or do something. I watched the film The Prestige again. I haven't seen that since it came out. The Christopher Nolan film.
Yeah, which was made at the same time as The Magician.
It was, yeah.
Starring Edward Norton, which is very much a Finding Dory Shark's Tale situation. Finding Nemo.
I thought it was great. I think it's my favourite of the Christopher Nolan films. I find it really clever. It's all a bit clever, a bit like filmmaking, isn't it? Being a magician. And you go, in a way, it's all a trick, isn't it? To make you feel something. It's like, yeah, but get it. So it's quite...
That's exactly what he did with Inception as well, though.
Yeah.
So Inception is kind of like Christopher Nolan's film about filmmaking.
Yeah.
Where Tom Hardy plays the locations manager, which is what... And Leonardo DiCaprio is the director, and then you have like a set designer, and like every single character in... Inception is meant to kind of like translate to a role within the film industry.
Maybe he only makes films about filmmaking. No, because he did those Batman ones as well, which aren't really, are they?
They're not really about filmmaking, unless it's like an exercise in how to make a superhero film, but feel so shameful about it that you've just turned it into, Heat. I don't know. I don't really love Christopher Nolan. I want to. No, I don't even know if I want to. No, I don't. I don't really love Christopher Nolan. I think that when I haven't seen all of his films, I haven't seen Interstellar.
Oh, I have. I quite like that one actually.
I did really love Batman Begins. I remember when I came out of the cinema and I was just like, oh, I can't believe someone's treating Batman like
the serious piece of art it is.
Yeah. but then, and I like The Dark Knight as well. What are you writing? Industry is a very good film.
No. Natalie, our producer, sorry, is telling us.
Robert Altman's The Player is about the film industry. It's a very good film. Yeah, thank you. We're talking about Christopher Nolan at the moment. If we wanted to talk about The Player, we'd have brought that up. I mean, you know, there's a time when to chip in and when not to chip in. I think we were doing very well, but you've broken our flow there, and the bad radio is on your shoulders now. Right? I held my hands up. We started 15 seconds late. That's my fault. That's on me.
Mm. I guess it's my fault as well. We're just staring into space.
Yeah, interstellar. No. just bringing it back, really.
That's Fan Club.
That's Fan Club.
We're up. We've started. We're off.
Oh, what a lot of fun. yeah. I'm not like a massive fan of Christopher Nolan, but I did really love Batman Begins. And I love Memento. Do you know what I really loved was, what is it called? Insomnia.
Oh, yeah.
It's
that
like,
is great.
It's bad to speak ill of the dead, but I was never really a Robin Williams fan. In terms of his films,
I think
people tend to list Jack as one of his worst films, but I just think he's the same as his performance in Jack in most of his films. I find it unbearable, but I thought he was amazing. I just thought in Insomnia, I thought he was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and I think he's someone who's I think he's a very good and capable like screen actor in things that like, but he's almost like anyone. It's like when he's good, he's good. But I don't think I would set out to see a Robin Williams film.
Mm. Have you ever seen Patch Adams?
No.
That is such a fucking crazy film. It's crazy. But it's absolutely mental. If you've never seen Patch, I mean, you just describe Patch Adams, and you know, Patch Adams is about a doctor that dresses up as a clown to entertain terminally ill kids. And right. And that's and it's directed by...
Francis Ford Coppola or someone?
No, Francis Ford Coppola did Jack.
Yeah.
The way I see it, it's Apocalypse Now, Jack, The Godfather. That's the order of Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
And they're all sequels to each other, aren't they?
They're all in the same
universe.
It's a shared universe.
Shared universe, yeah.
The guy that did, what's his name? Is it Tom Shadjack? The guy that did Liar Liar.
Yes.
He directed Patch Adams, I think, and... and so it's like this. It's like a Robin Williams film. So he's kind of like, oh, he's a wacky doctor, and he dresses up as it. And then towards the end, there's a twist, and it turns into a serial killer film.
No, Patch Adams.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
It's like Dusk Till Dawn.
Literally, the last 10 minutes, his girlfriend gets hunted down and murdered.
No.
Yeah. It's absolutely. I was watching it in Manchester. And where was I? I was staying in the Hotel Royal, the Royal Hotel. It was like
a big one.
It was a big hotel that had seen better days. The staircases were like the staircases of that were seen on the Titanic.
Yes.
When it was above the ocean.
Level.
It's these beautiful ornate staircases, and then they had these beautiful ornate kind of chests, cabinets, display cabinets. But in the display cabinets, they'd done like a display of WKDs and and pizza boxes to say, "Hey, you can have pizza all night long."
So it was a once luxury hotel that's now.
Yeah, that was seen better days.
And faded glamour.
All the way through the night, there were stag do's setting off the smoke alarms. It was like, and I was sort of watching
Patch Adams
in my single bed, with the covers up to my face, like shaking at night, terrified, and I watched Patch Adams, and I was just like, all right. I watched it in the day because I had a gig. This was years and years ago. I had a gig at the Frog and Bucket in the evening, and I watched Patch Adams. It was on in the afternoon, and I could not fucking believe it. It just turned into seven. spoiler alert. I'm sorry if you haven't seen Patch Adams. Check it out. But yeah, I'm not doing Edinburgh this year.
Oh, have you seen the trailer for Marwan?
Marwan?
I'll say, do some homework this week. We'll talk about it next week.
Marwan?
Marwan.
How are you spelling that?
I think M-A-R-W-E-N.
M?
N.
N.
Marwan.
Yeah.
It's a new Robert Zemeckis film with Steve Carell.
Uh-huh.
And I'd advise you all to take a look at that.
I've seen a poster for that. It's got like a plastic face.
Yes.
Mm.
watch the trailer, and we might have a chat about that next week, because that is one of the wildest looking trailers I've ever seen. It looks absolutely insane.
Excellent. Right, well, tune in next week and we'll be talking about a trailer that I watched. come on, mate, keep it going. Fucking hell, I pulled that fucking Patch Adams story out of my arse.
Okay, and you did the Interstellar thing as well.
And I did the Interstellar gag. What have I been up to this week? I went to see the Fawlty Towers Experience.
Oh, you did, yeah.
I went to the Fawlty Towers Dining Experience.
Tell us about what that is. So it's not, it's an unendorsed, Fawlty, it's not approved by Cleese and Co.
I don't know the politics behind it. I just know that it was fun. There you go. I don't know the. I just know what I like. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was. What did I do? Me and my friend Brett Carlstein, who was a guest on the show a couple of weeks
ago. Fan club.
Plus fan club. So we have a running joke where every time we see a picture of John Cleese pulling a funny face, we'll take a photo of it and send it to each other. and then when we see each other, there was like one of him pulling like a face like he was a mouse, like he was a mouse looking over like a little ledge. So he was like going like that. I mean, if you can imagine such a thing. And so whenever me and Brett see each other, we pull that face at each other.
What day did you see Fawlty Towers on?
We saw it on Saturday, last Saturday.
I think I was free that night.
Oh, right. Well, the tickets were really expensive.
Sure. I mean, I've been saving up.
Sure. Well, I mean, they were really expensive. You could get a three-course meal. Yeah. Included.
I put a little bit aside every week, just in case, sure, so I can build up time to go in the Fawlty Towers Experience.
I'll tell you this for nothing. If you want to go, then it is within your grasp. Fawlty Towers Experience has been in Edinburgh every year for
it's
like.
It's true, it has been, yeah.
For
yeah.
Like, I mean, I've done Edinburgh 20 years.
Yeah.
21 years? 20 years since 1997. This is my first year off, so I don't really know what to do with myself. So I find myself with weekend three going to the Fawlty Towers Dining Experience.
Is it because you're trying to recreate Edinburgh in some way?
I guess I am in some way. It's just one of those things that I've walked past it every year and I've always thought, oh, I wonder what that is like. But also, Brett has a very low threshold for public humiliation.
Yeah, I'd imagine he'd be quite a good person to have.
And he didn't know he was going. I took him as a surprise. Because my friend Pat as well, Pat Bircher from Canada, is staying with me at the moment. And he's also a comedian. And so I thought, what we'll do, because he's Canadian, we'll dive him into the British traditional British sense of humour and to take him to the Fawlty Towers thing.
Natalie's just put up the price list.
Yeah, I'm not going to name and shame him. If you want to do it, absolutely go for it.
Looking at it though, I can't afford to go.
No, it was really expensive. It was really expensive, like eye-wateringly. I mean, it was a treat. I took them both and they didn't know what they were going to see. And they got in the queue, and then it said at the front of the queue, the Fawlty Towers Dining Experience. And Brett literally went white. And then he said, I'm just going to go to the toilet. And he was gone for ages, and I thought that he wasn't going to come back. Then he did come back, and he sat down. And, you know, we got. What was really funny, it was so basically the idea is that. That Basil Fawlty,
is he called Basil Fawlty in it?
Yeah. It's all that. What's Basil Fawlty's wife called?
Sybil.
That's right. Basil Fawlty, Sybil Fawlty, and Manuel. They all serve you a three-course meal in a function room in a hotel.
But are they like spilling soup on you and things?
Yeah, they do all of that, right? But there's like a holding cell, there's a holding pen before they're ready to start, before they let you in, where basically, so the audience for it is largely white, angry British people, like huge groups of Brexiters, right? That are all kind of like really, really furious and angry about Britain, and they're all queuing up for the good old days to see, you know, Basil Fawlty serves them some tomato soup, and we were in this holding cell, and there was a lot of us. I mean, I would say that there were like over 10 tables of about of 10. So I think there were maybe 12 wow. or 13 tables. So that's like 130 people. We're all crammed in this quite small bar area, and they were queuing up for the bar, and they were kind of like, okay, I'll have like a bucket of beer, please, and there was only only like four servers behind, four barmen behind the bar, and they were like trying to cope with like all of this kind of like influx of custom, and it was like everyone was shouting at him, and then this one guy was furious because he'd been waiting 5 minutes for like a bottle of wine and some beer, and he was like, you know, really fucking angry, and everyone was like shouting at these bar staff, and I was just thinking, if you don't like the service out here, you're not going to like Manuel. It was fucking terrifying. But if you're part of a stag do and you're an angry British man, then the 40 Towers experience, dining
it's
experience
for you.
Is for you. I really actually,
if you've got a fair bit of money.
I did actually enjoy it. We all enjoyed it a lot more than we thought we would. It was excellent fun for some of the family. It's quarter past. Let's play a song.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, you're happy?
What are we going to play?
You happy? You feel that you've said enough?
Yes, I've said enough on Fawlty Towers, dining experience.
Okay, well, it's time to wake up, because it's Friday.
Whoa.
I gotta stay awake. I just can't sleep. Because I know inside, if I close my eyes, it'll be the death. Shadows thrive, that's when I must survive. Cause every night they come for me. I'm shaking in the ice cold shower. I've been here for about a week. But if I leave, I could doze for hours. And that would surely be.
Fan Club on Foo Bar Radio.
We've got a lady doing the jingle now. That's the first time.
Yes, we've got a new jingle.
It used to be Jerry Page, and now it's a lady doing it. That's nice. That's good. Diverse. And speaking of diverse, we're joined by a lady. We're joined by, thank you very much. We're joined by Claudie Blakely.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, really good, thanks.
You're an actress, aren't you?
I am.
What are you up to at the moment?
Currently in a play at the Harold Pinter Theatre called Consent.
Now, I saw Consent at the National.
Oh. I wasn't in that one.
You weren't in that one.
Let's not talk about that.
My screen sister Daisy Haggard was in it, and I went to see her in that.
Oh, yes. She played the actress.
She did play the actress. Which part are you playing?
I'm playing Kitty, who's married to Ed, you know, in that sort of dodgy, quite bad marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite...
Well, did you like it?
I did. I really liked it. And it's
brilliant
a testament
play
to the play. I went to see it on my own on a Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
That's commitment.
I was going through a dark period.
With that and Fawlty Towers, it's quite a
did
culture.
Did you know
culture
what it was about?
Imagine going to see Fawlty Towers on your
all
own.
In the same week.
It was all in the same week.
Keep it at both ends, you know.
Did I manage to enjoy it by myself? Yeah, I did. I thought it was... in actual fact, I think theatre is... you can enjoy it by yourself, can't you?
I think it's nice to go on your own because you can kind of get lost in the world.
And you don't have to worry about...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about anyone.
In fact, most things, going to a concert is nice by yourself because sometimes you're with someone that's short and you worry the whole time that they can't see.
Well, that's nice of you, though.
So it ruins the show, doesn't it? And so it's nice to just, put your blinkers on and just concentrate on your own.
Yeah, and get lost in it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I really did love the play.
No, it's brilliant. I mean, Nina Raine's a brilliant writer. We're really lucky to be performing it. She's just, it's just been described as a classic, so... You know, it's a really, really exciting
play.
It's a new play.
Okay, so it was first performed at the National, wasn't it?
It was first performed there, and it was a huge success, and then he did a little bit of recasting, and it's still a huge success, thank God, because there's always the danger of, ruining it.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, do you feel that pressure?
Well, I guess there's a little bit of that involved when it was... I mean, everyone was talking about it, so you think, oh, my God, I hope we can kind of maintain... But then that's testament to the play. I mean, the play's the star, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't really matter who's in it. But no, it's a brilliant, brilliant cast. And we've been doing really well, thankfully, for audiences, considering we have no major names in it.
Wow.
For the West End.
I went to see Young Frankenstein on Friday, last Friday.
What a week you've had.
Well, you know, I kind of play it close to my chest. It was like a late Father's Day gift, because my dad... It was on telly recently. The film was on telly, and he phoned me up and he went on and on about it like it was a brand new film. And then Father's Day was coming up, and I saw that it was on and at the West End, and so I went, saved that. But you know, it was a really hot day, and it wasn't sold out.
Really?
And I think theatre is kind of like it's hot and there's football on. It's difficult to get.
Well, we were a bit quiet the night before. No, last night, because it was England, wasn't it?
Oh, it was England.
Yeah. Because I couldn't have gone. I hadn't realised it had already started, and I thought, maybe I'll try and go, and I couldn't go on Wednesday. Completely sold out.
What, on Consent?
Wednesday? Oh, yeah.
You tried to... You should have texted me. I would have got you a ticket.
I haven't got your number. Let's do it now. What's your number?
It's too late. Oh, no. I mean, there are days. I think there are some seats available. But, I mean, it's doing well.
We're very, very lucky. So who have you got in the show with you?
Well, Adam James and Heather Craney are both from the original cast. Mm-hmm. Heather Craney plays the rape victim. Right. Adam James plays the very naughty boy, Jake, who has the affair.
Right.
And so they're the originals. And then we've got Stephen Campbell-Moore playing Ed. We've got Lee Ingleby playing Tim. Sean Clifford and Claire Foster. And they're all completely brilliant.
And they're all very, familiar people. I know who are these people. Lee Ingleby is someone I like a lot. He was in a thing. Is it called Nature Boy? Do you remember that series? That's incredible.
I love that. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, he's someone I always think like.
He hasn't stopped, really, has he? Since then.
Yeah. He's just in lots of things. Always great.
Yeah, all very, very solid, brilliant actor. And it's nice for him to do a play because I don't think he's done one for 7 years.
Oh right, okay.
So he's still got it, thankfully.
And
it's nice to have a northern voice in there as well, because otherwise it's a lot of middle class kind of posh people.
Yes, I said yes because yeah.
It's true, though, isn't it? To have that different,
it is
true.
It is good.
Shake it up a bit.
Diversity. Really.
We're not doing very well today, are we? One of us should put on an accent. I'm from, my family are from Cumbria, but you wouldn't know, so I'm technically quite northern.
Well, you sound northern now. When you said northern, that was northern.
Thank you. And diversity.
My family are from Staffordshire and Yorkshire.
Wow.
But I was born in Finsbury Park.
What a diverse group we are.
Aren't we?
We are, yeah. Roger Michel directed it, right?
Yes.
Did he direct it at the National?
He did the original, yes. God, yeah, he was incredible. I mean, I've never worked with Roger, always wanted to. And, yeah, he's a complete genius. He's very, very relaxed. He knows what he's doing and creates a very good atmosphere in the room. And even though the play's pretty dark, obviously, because it has some pretty heavy subject matters in there, rape being one of them, we did manage to have a few laughs, which is important when you're doing something very serious and slightly, you know, close to the bone.
It is a dark play, but it is funny as well.
Yeah, she's a funny woman. I mean, you know, she's always got a funny anecdote to tell, and she's a brilliant storyteller, and she cracks lots of jokes in there. We've got some really, really good funny lines.
Do you find it hard not to take home if you're doing a very dark, serious play? Or are you able to switch off?
I think with
off?
Any show, it's quite difficult to let it go, first of all. You sort of feel that kind of adrenaline buzz when you come off stage. But no, I do shake it off. I mean, I've got a baby as well.
Right.
So they're a really good leveller. You get home and you just change a pooey nappy, you're back down to earth, aren't you, straight away?
I find. I don't have any kids, though.
But when you do, you feel, I mean, this is... I didn't sign up for this. No, I don't know why this is happening.
I know, absolutely. But I, you know, I think during rehearsals, I think it's quite difficult to let go of. But now I'm in the run. I mean, we've been doing it for 5 weeks. I tend to come in, do the play and leave it there, and it's fine, and be normal again.
What do you do? Here's a thing, as a non-actor, what do you do on a day when there's a matinee?
I mean, you could have asked me at any point.
Well,
matinees, that's a swear word, I hate them.
So if you do a play, and it lasts 2 hours 20, plus interval, so that's going to come out nearly six.
Yeah, horrendous.
You start again at half seven?
Yeah.
So you've got an hour, what do you do?
Sleep.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I have all these plans to go shopping, you know, because obviously the baby thing, I've got a little bit of time where I think I'm free, I'm going to go shopping, I'm going to buy stuff, I'm going to get my nails done. No, I just eat and shut my eyes.
Because you know your lines by that point,
you
don't
know
you?
Your lines.
You don't have to
go over them.
No.
And you've warmed up, so you don't need to do a warm up.
How many performances in is it that you know your lines?
You're a bit shaky, I'd say, the first week when you're doing your previews.
Right.
But then that's what previews are for. You know, those audiences have only paid 20 quid. So if you forget a couple of lines, as long as you can, you know, wing it.
Have you ever had to wing it?
Yeah. It's when you're doing Shakespeare's the problem, because you have to wing it within the rhythm.
Does that have a thing where people know the text? People have got books out. There's probably a school group in.
Absolutely.
Going, that's not.
Yes.
That's not it.
In Stratford, I've worked in Stratford at the Swan. They are there with the text. And you're like, what are you doing?
Why would you do that?
Why
it's like a test.
Well, you feel, I mean, if you notice, it feels very much like, well, yeah, they want to see whether you're getting it right, I guess.
Is that why they're doing it? Why would you do that?
I don't know. It's strange, isn't it?
It's always a bit of, I would imagine that was a bit of... That takes a bit of the pressure off, though, isn't it? Knowing that you could just go line.
That's a good point.
Grab the book off them at any point and read it for yourself.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't think of it like that.
You were in the film Severance, weren't you?
Yes. Have you had Danny Dyer in yet?
No, we haven't.
You can swear. I mean, it's a
good thing. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing.
He was on This Evening with Piers Morgan.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yeah.
I watched that this morning.
Right, yeah.
Because, yeah, we watched that this morning, me and my partner. Isn't it brilliant?
It was on after the football.
Oh,
and
my
Danny
God,
Dyer
you just
was talking
your
about
face and, like, it's so awkward, isn't it?
It was so funny, though.
No, but it's funny.
Yeah.
He was just going on and on about what... he was on live TV, right? He was just saying how much of a twat David Cameron was over and over again. It was fucking... In front of Pamela Anderson.
With his trotters up, was my favourite.
With his trotters up.
I just love him. He doesn't care.
No.
I love him.
What was it like working with him?
Amazing. I mean, he's just hilarious. We had a great time. There's lots of funny people in it. So we just laughed the whole time. And it's great. You know, when you decide to be an actor, you just want to do a horror movie. That's sort of a dream job. That and shoot aliens, I think.
But we're talking about it this morning, that it's got that kind of... It's a horror, but it is funny. And it has that thing where when it switches, the gore and the horror is really actually horrible.
It is, actually.
It's horrible.
The director was kind of, you know, a real film buff and has literally seen every horror movie that's been ever been made. So he's a real buff.
What a nerd.
He's a real nerd.
Yeah.
What a nerd.
Yeah. So he just got every little thing that he's always loved and put it in. And he wanted it to be... He wanted the gory stuff to have an effect, you know?
So I saw it several years ago. And
did you see it when it came out?
No, I didn't see it when it came out.
Because not many people did. It was like word of mouth, really.
I saw it on TV a few years after it came out.
Yeah.
And I may have missed the beginning. And I didn't know really what I was watching. I just
didn't matter.
I remember the cast being really great. And Andy Nyman... the first scene that I remember is the scene with the pie. And I just remember how, and they find teeth in the pie, and I just remember, when it's dark, it's so dark.
Yes.
And it was just so relentlessly dark, and the deaths are so inventive, but also brutal. And then it's just really funny as well.
Yes.
And I really do like that film. It might be Danny Dyer's best film.
Yes,
because he's made about 1,000 now.
Yes,
he has.
It's really good.
I love
good.
Those. I love things that you kind of literally one minute you're laughing, and the next minute you feel terrified.
Yes, yeah.
But or you feel shocked, or you feel
I guess that's all
depressed.
Horror and comedy, isn't it? It's a sort of tension and a release.
Yes.
So it's that kind of mixture.
Yeah.
But it must be incredible. That's what it's a really smart film, because it's so hard to get that tone right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you've got to do that when you're making it. He doesn't even have that thing, like in comedy we have an audience that's going to tell us immediately whether that's going to work, but knowing, making a film obviously ahead of time, you just must be guessing and going, well, I hope this tonally works.
Yeah.
I hope people find this funny.
That's it.
And I hope they find this bit horrific.
I think you've
got to
be brave,
know.
Haven't you?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He is brave, Chris Smith, who sort of, I mean, he didn't completely write it on his own, but he kind of did in a way. And he directed it. And he just thought, I'm making a film that I like, that would make me scared and me laugh. And I've just got to trust...
Yeah.
That other people.
That's all you can ever do, isn't it?
And he was really brave.
You've got to make it for yourself.
He'd wake up with these silly ideas. You know, he'd wake up in the middle of the night with these silly ideas. Like, when the coach crashes and you find yourself a little bit kind of, you know, you're absolutely concussed and you don't know where you are, I think you should look round at your husband when he's reaching out to you, nearly dying, and wave at him. And
yes.
I was like, I think he'd seen it in a film. I can't remember. There's a reference to another.
Sure.
And he went, I think you should wave really slowly.
That bit is familiar,
like, what are you,
actually.
Mad? That's
yeah.
weird. And I did. And it kind of works.
Sure.
You know, so you've got to have a mad brain.
I would say, put your microphone down a bit now.
Cool.
I would say that when you look at a film like American Werewolf in London that mixes comedy and horror, you've kind of like got, oh, it's like a werewolf film. You know, if you look at The Wolfman, that's kind of like a PG, and it's kind of like, oh, it's a monster movie, and it's got comedy in it. And if you look at Ghostbusters, it's comedy, and it's got horror in it. But sort of, Severance sort of has comedy, and then it turns into Hostel.
Yes, yes.
It's like it's like torture porn.
Yeah.
Mixed. Do you know what I mean? It's like the worst. It's like the sort of horror film that I wouldn't watch because I'm squeamish.
Yeah.
Mixed with, you know, Andy Nyman getting covered in leaves.
Yes.
Did you like the bit when he got his leg chopped off? Danny tries to stick it in the fridge.
In the mini fridge.
I don't think we stopped laughing that day. I mean, literally just to see Andy Nyman's leg made as a cast was just...
I found it so disgusting.
I know.
And upsetting. Because he's a bit of an idiot character. And you feel sorry for him.
I know.
And
something horrible happens.
When he bounces just, on the...
Yeah, and then it's just so... I mean, it's so... There's really unpleasant things happen to quite likable.
I know.
Quite likable
That's
actors.
That's what you want, and, I guess. Yeah, it's just, it was really horrible. Scary where we filmed as well. It was.
Where did
I
you
mean,
film it? Romania.
No, we filmed in Hungary in the middle of a wood, and I mean, it was so you didn't need to do anything, and that weird kind of. Cabin. It was just that was it. Yeah. It was like that.
Oh,
it
wow.
was so scary.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of all you needed to do. Play some like scary music in the background, and then you've got it.
And there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
We haven't talked to you about any of the things that we've asked you to talk about.
Let's do it.
What have you asked me to talk about?
This is the first time we've had a guest. This is the first time we've had a guest. Are you serious? We didn't know
beforehand. Yeah. So we usually know people, so it feels a bit safer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know them personally.
We know them personally.
Yeah,
I've known you for years.
Good.
He's got a very warm voice.
You have.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, yeah.
You're making me feel very comfortable.
Good.
Oh, good. It's time for the.
Are you going to play my dad?
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Not in a film.
No, that would be quite insulting. You're younger than me.
Oh, what, as in,
I didn't mean
as in,
that, obviously.
As in, you know, what, your song?
Yeah.
Yes.
We will get to that.
Okay.
It's not 2:45 yet.
Okay, and, sorry. I don't want to
interfere. I did think it was a bit of a odd question if I was going to play your dad. I just thought, yeah, sure, if that's what you need from me right now.
Can we do a quick improvisation?
I'll be that guy
She's
for
one
you.
Of those
I'll be mother.
Brilliant.
We'll do a little... We'll do a little play, a little workshop.
Sounds like it's going to be boring, doesn't it? Let's not.
So, Claudie, yes. Who is your favourite actress?
Well, that's a really hard one, but I would say if I was put on the spot, like you are doing, I would have to say Judi Dench, because she's my hero.
Well, she's one of those actresses that's always been quite open about... going blank on stage while she's talking.
Oh, yeah.
She says that she just sort of starts listing spaghetti.
Does she? I haven't heard
listing, that. Listing different pastas. If she's doing
I
like
don't think
Italian,
that's going to work.
She'll start going tagliatelle, penne.
But not if she's doing Shakespeare.
I'm out. So she's obviously very kind of like rigatoni.
That's really.
I guess if she's doing. I don't know how. I don't know which play that would fit in the best. Merchant of Venice.
I bet she gets away with it though, because she's Judi Dench.
Yeah.
Well, not if you're following her along with the book. It depends what book. If you've got like a cookbook, then maybe.
And it's fine.
Then maybe
it's Jamie's Italian.
Jamie's Italian.
Yeah.
He's got that out.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll try it. See how it goes. She's naughty. I mean, I've been on stage with her a couple of times.
Oh, really?
And she's, yeah, she's
What's
naughty.
It like working with... Because I'm a comedian and sometimes, and I think that...
So am I, by the way.
Sorry.
I mean, that's offensive.
We're comedians.
I'm in the room.
I'm a
comedian and you are...
Yeah, but you're asking her for acting tips and it's kind of like we see each other every week.
Well, I could be an actor. Well, I could be an actor, Nick.
Of course you could.
I mean, Nick did 3 series of Uncle. He didn't... I could have been in that.
Well, I did get a lot of people in that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that makes it more offensive.
And there was someone in the second series dressed up as Marty McFly, which was your party piece, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, and you still didn't. Oh,
sorry.
That's awkward.
I didn't know.
That's really awkward.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't know.
So you could get all your mates in that. That's brilliant.
Well, I didn't get all my
mates
in that. They had to audition.
Of course, go through the right
channels.
I
didn't get an audition, so...
You didn't even get to the audition stage.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, awkward.
What do you think, Claude? Do you think I'd be a good actor, Claudie?
I can tell you it.
Yeah, thank you.
I think I was making a point.
Go on, Nick, sorry.
You better get him in your next thing.
So when you do comedy, when you start out, you just think, oh, well, it'd be really good to sort of, like, maybe one day meet someone. And then you find years later that you're on the same bill with kind of like Harry Hill or Stuart Lee. And it's kind of like, it's one of those industries where you actually, you have heroes and at one point it is possible to meet them and work with them at some point. So if you've kind of like managed to work with Judi Dench, and have you always been massive? What's it like working with your hero?
Incredible. I mean, she is just brilliant. She comes on stage and she's just got this energy, you know, and she just does very little. Even if she does very little, it's just massive. She's just got this energy and she's just incredible. You've either got it or you haven't, I guess. She was in the rehearsal room the very first day and I was just so nervous. I didn't really say much to her, like you do. And then it just becomes normal, doesn't it? But she doesn't read the play before she starts.
We've heard.
So she never reads it. Have you heard that?
No, she just does spaghetti.
No, she exactly.
Yeah.
So thankfully, she had the play in front of her, so she didn't do the spaghetti thing. But it was the first time she'd ever done it, so that was quite.
Oh wow!
So when you do the read through, that's the first time she's done it.
Yeah.
And is it very much like she's sort of like feeling around in the dark?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah. So that's.
Are you not instantly crushed?
So that makes you feel really. No, because she's still bloody brilliant.
Do you think she does
you know?
That because she knows that she's a legend and that she wants to make everyone feel relaxed around her?
I don't think she thinks she is a legend. She really doesn't. And this was quite a long time ago. I mean, she was a legend then, but she wasn't the legend that she is now.
So she was like, as time goes by, Judy?
Well, a bit later. She was I think she'd started James Bond. She did, you know, she was doing movies.
So she's got Goldeneye under her belt.
She might have had Goldeneye under her belt, right. Yeah. So she was still, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think she likes reading it. I think she doesn't like coming to the room with any preconceived ideas. Well, that's her excuse. She probably just can't.
Sure.
Isn't there a thing that, doesn't she, this might be a rumour about her, that she has her agent just pick everything for her? That she has someone like knows, she trusts them enough to go, this would be good for you.
That's
she goes,
it.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah, she does do that. And apparently she just never says no to anything because she doesn't like to upset anyone.
Great, we should ask her on this. Let's get her on. Natalie?
Get her on.
Natalie, get Judy Dench on the line. And
we've
got another 20 minutes.
Yes, so
keep her on hold and then I'll talk to her after the show.
Yeah. She'll be great. She'll let you have a laugh. She's really, really funny and really naughty. She's got that glint in her eye, you know. It's just, all actors are kids, you know. But she looks young because she loves it. She really enjoys what she does.
Yeah.
And you can tell. She does. If she's got a friend in, though, watching the play, she'll try and get their name in somewhere. This is a little wink-wink. So I shouldn't be telling her all her secrets.
In many ways, she's unprofessional.
She's sort of unprofessional.
Don't bother getting in contact with her. She probably won't show up.
Like Joel Dommett.
Like Judy Dench and Joel Dommett.
JDs.
You only like professionals,
aren't you? Yeah, professionals only, please.
Sure.
We're not. It's fine though. We don't. It's not. It's not that we keep bringing it up, Joel. Anyway,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
And we're back. So, who's your favourite pop icon?
I'm going to say. Well, I was pretty obsessed with Cyndi Lauper because she was rock and roll. I loved her, and I loved Blondie. I mean, can I say Prince?
Yeah.
You can say whoever
Prince
you like.
Prince is one of your favourite, only
oh
if he's
gosh.
One of your favourites.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, sure.
Prince.
Did you ever see Prince live?
Yes, I did. I saw his last concert, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was
his last tour or his last ever concert?
Well, I think his last tour.
Right.
No, his last tour. I wasn't there in America with his last concert, but his last tour.
Wow, yeah. Where was that at?
Was the
O2. Oh, wow.
I think it was at the O2. What a terrible memory. It was in the round.
Was it Prince?
It was in the round, so it felt very small. I think it was the O2, yeah.
It would feel small.
If it was in the round.
If he was on stage, though.
Yes.
He was tiny.
He was tiny. But it was amazing.
3 foot 2.
And then
the Little Prince.
At the end, he did like an acoustic set for about. He came back on when everyone sort of got him back on, and he did an acoustic set for about an hour, just sitting on a stool, like he was in a pub.
After
it
the gig,
was absolutely brilliant. Well, sort of after, but part of. Lots of people went, and you just think,
oh, really?
Idiots.
I find that baffling when people go to see a show
and they don't want to get out straight away.
Yeah,
because they don't want to get out in a car.
Yeah, or they don't want to get a busy tube. No. And you go, why are you here?
I've been to see loads
You're
of gigs.
You're missing best bits.
I've never been stuck in London. I've never been stuck at one side of London and not been able to get out.
No, it's just that thing about it being a bit busy, isn't it? Might be a bit busy on the tube.
Panic.
I
know, it's ridiculous.
And it's like, but why have you paid for a ticket?
But just be late home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just get on a busy tube.
Yeah.
It's Prince.
Yeah, and it's fun because everyone might sing the songs. Like, oh, they did like when that. I said, oh, well, when I saw you two, they were singing the songs for about an hour and 15 minutes afterwards.
Oh, on the way back,
which did get a
must have been
nice.
An absolute fucking nightmare.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Fucking hell.
But I was only
it's
14,
worth leaving
so
early. It's worth leaving early, actually.
You two leave early, Prince. I mean, stay till the end.
Stay that time of not leaving early.
I went to see Dolly Parton at the O2 Arena once. And she did like 2 hours. She did like 2 hours, and it was just like bloody hell, what? And she came out with all of like these costume changes and all these instruments, and she had like she played a harp and a ukulele, and like, and then and she got to the end, and she's like, oh bloody hell, and then she goes, oh right, we're gonna have a little break now, and then I'll see you after the interval, and then she did like another 2 hours, and it was just like, it was fucking crazy, and by the end of it, we were all crying, and it was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Good crazy though.
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
Was it amazing?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I'm into sort of like heavy metal and rock music and stuff like that. But the two of the best gigs I've ever seen were Dolly Parton and Bruce Springsteen. But,
wow.
Dolly Parton. I mean, I cried at both of them.
Really?
But I have like emotional issues. Keep it
that's
where did
club.
You see Bruce Springsteen?
I saw Bruce Springsteen. Well, so with Dolly Parton, I got front row seats. And it was a bit too close because she's had a lot of work done, and
so her face.
And it is a little bit you're behind the magician's curtain a little bit there,
right?
But that was so intense that she was sort of like singing song lyrics at you, and it was kind of like and with Bruce Springsteen, this was way back in 2011. With Bruce Springsteen, I saw him at Wembley Arena. And I was just like, oh, we've got the best seats ever. You can see everyone. We were sat so far away from the stage. He was smaller than an ant. Aww. He could have ridden on an ant onto the stage.
He might not have even been there. And it
could have been anyone. It could have
with a mask.
One of them paper masks that you get. But
that's how I saw Bob Dylan as well. It's
wearing a mask.
Yeah.
It was a Bruce Springsteen mask. That's so weird.
Yeah, it was Bob Dylan.
Oh, God, we're running out of time. We've got to play your song. So can you just introduce your song to
this is Call Me Number One by the Tremolos.
Call Me Number One by the Tremolos. Football Radio presents Joey
Page. It's now time to welcome into the studio Danny Goffey. Have you got like a signature dish in your family? Like
I'm the cook at home, so yeah. My signature dish is strawberry and rhubarb souffles.
When you
Joey Page is on Football Radio, that's a really long trail and we haven't got enough time to sit through it all. So we'll listen, tune in. So we're joined back in studio by Claudie Blakely. So just going back to your list of things that you're a fan of, who's your favourite director? Oh no, what was the song that we just listened to?
Oh, what do you want me to talk about that? That was my dad.
That was your dad? That was your dad in the tremolos?
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to play that, but it was really nice for me to listen to that. I was just completely selfishly doing it for myself.
That's what they're,
I've
that's
literally played an Alice Cooper song every single week.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it's fine. I mean, if anything, this is a very selfish show.
But why wouldn't you play tunes that you love?
Exactly.
Tunes,
exactly, songs? Natalie. I don't know why you wouldn't play something that you're at least a fan of.
How is Alice Cooper going down with the listeners? Like, well?
I don't care.
We don't get much feedback. I think they keep things from us.
Keep sending in your fan art.
Fan art.
We've had some.
Who is your favourite director?
I have to say Robert Altman, because I've worked with him and he
of course
is,
you have, yeah.
Of course he made the film industry satire The Player.
Oh yeah, you were talking about that's nicely tied in. I didn't say it for that reason, but yeah, he was incredible to work
You're
with.
You're in Gosford Park.
I was in Gosford Park. It was quite a kind of left turn for him. Film for him, but he loved it. He loved working with British actors as well, because we didn't demand any massive Winnebagos and we weren't demanding. We were just, but even Maggie Smith, I mean, everyone was just like loving being there, and he couldn't believe it.
Do you wear little radio mics? Do you actually often have people talking over each other, don't you, and those kind of things?
Yeah, he likes a lot of that, and a lot of hidden cameras, so you never. You didn't get any actors kind of aware of the camera, because often you didn't even know where it was.
That way,
so he's really good.
Was it improvised then?
Some of it,
I went to see it at the cinema when I was at university and I liked it very much.
Julian Fellowes used to sort of stand around looking very fidgety sometimes, because Robert Altman would say, don't worry about the script, say whatever you want. So Maggie Smith was brilliant at that, and she just used to come up with some classic lines that obviously are still in it. And he loved the accidents, what he enjoyed.
But you started with the script.
We started with the script, and then he just said, don't bother with that bit. Don't just make your own thing up. Because he loved actors. He loved, playing around. And he was so creative. And again, we use that word brave. He was, he just took sort of big chances with things and see what landed. He never really worried about producers the outcome. He just said, let's see what we can create here and see what lands, and we'll take bits and throw bits away, and then we'll pull the film together and edit it, and we were invited every evening to watch the edits with him in a screening room that he got set up on the set, and so we were all part of it. It's very collaborative.
Pull your mic down. That did you mind that? Do you mind seeing yourself on a lot of, a lot of actors say, oh, I can't bear to see myself, but I don't mind it at all. I actually like it. In fact,
I think it's quite good to get used to it.
I mainly watch Uncle at home and Eat Your Heart Out and Loaded to a lesser extent, but mainly I'm watching Uncle at home. I'm very comfortable watching myself. It's a great show. If I hadn't made it, I'd still watch it.
Absolutely.
So I find it very relaxing watching myself.
And do you find it useful?
Not really.
No.
No,
because you kind of make all the same mistakes. Not you personally, but we make the same. We just do what we do, don't we?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to watch it and go, I'm not going to lift my eyebrow because that looks terrible. And you just, you can't.
You can't. I mean, I find it impossible to not lift my eyebrows sometimes.
I wish I could lift my eyebrow, see? We've all got things that we...
Well, we're all good at some things, aren't
exactly.
We?
Exactly.
We've run out of time, so we've just about got time to play Nathaniel Metcalfe's world-famous game. I'm just trying to find out which... Oh, it's here, isn't it? It's number three. World-famous game, Better or Worse.
Okay, Claudie, Better or Worse is a game where I show you a series of people and you have to say whether they're better or worse than the following person on the card. Okay, and it's entirely based on my own opinions We'll see how you get on. So first, it's a high card. It's Carrie Fisher.
Better or worse than who?
You'll find out.
Is she better or worse than Nat King Cole?
Play your cards right, basically.
Based on your opinion. Yes, yeah. We know each other quite well now, so you should be able to figure it out.
I mean, you've got to be faster than this, Gloria.
She is better than Nat King Cole.
Okay.
But is Nat King Cole better or worse than Cary Grant?
Worse.
I think he is worse, yeah.
Cary Grant is the best.
Is Cary Grant better or worse than Norman Wisdom?
Worse.
Cary Grant is worse than Norman Wisdom.
I thought you might think.
Oh, well.
Well, yeah, but have
sure,
it.
Well.
Use a bit of your own passion for life.
Cary Grant is better than Norman Wisdom. Okay. Is Norman Wisdom better or worse than Vincent Price?
Worse. I mean, he's got to be worse.
He's worse.
I mean,
it's Vincent.
I don't feel like you're trying as much this week, Matt. They're pretty fucking obvious.
Who is it? Vincent Price, better or worse than Adam West?
Oh, that's tough. Of course, they worked together on the Batman.
They did. Vincent Price is better than Adam West, I think.
Good. I think, yeah.
Yeah, I like Adam West. It's a high card.
Yeah, it's a high card.
It's a high card.
What can you do in that situation?
That's it. It's not always easy.
No. Let's rattle through it, guys.
Okay.
So where were we? Oh, yeah.
Is Adam West better or worse than Phil Silvers?
I haven't added it up.
I really like Phil Silvers.
Me too. I think Phil Silvers
is better.
Yes.
Oh, I might say, yeah, okay.
Phil Silvers is better, he's
worse than Phil Silvers.
Okay.
See, I was on it there.
You're right, yeah.
So, hang on. So, what was the last one? Phil Silvers is better than Adam West.
Yes. Phil Silvers better or worse than Groucho Marx?
Sorry, I pressed the wrong button.
Worse.
Phil Silvers is worse than Groucho Marx, correct. Is Groucho Marx better or worse than Billy Dee Williams?
Oh my God, that's signed. Is that really signed?
No.
Worse. No, better.
Groucho Marx is better than Billy Dee Williams.
Groucho Marx is much better than Billy Dee Williams.
Is Billy Dee Williams better or worse than John Lennon?
Worse. John Lennon's
I think he is worse.
Is that the end of the game?
Good game.
I think you did really well.
Thank you.
You're out of cards. What are you saying? Natalie, you've got to press the button if you're going to talk to me. Eight. Okay, so what are the scores
so
far?
Eight. Oh, wow. I think... Wow. Okay.
So Jack Berry had four.
Four. Hayley Campbell had seven.
Brett Goldstein had seven.
Yasmin Akram had five.
Ooh.
Colin Holt had six.
Six.
So in first place, it's Claudie Blakely with eight.
Eight. Bloody hell. No, you haven't won yet. Oh. Right, don't get overexcited.
But there's no prize, you told me.
See you later then.
Bye.
It's the end of... We'll get to the... No, leave yet.
Is there going to be a prize? Come on.
At
the end of however long?
Well, yes. We'll call back for a champion of champions.
Champion of champions. Keep talking amongst yourself. I've got to line up the next song.
That's about all we've got time for. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for coming in. I've had a great time.
Good luck with the play. It's an amazing play. Go and see it, everyone. If there's no football on and it's cold out, definitely nip in and see it.
Even if it's a little bit warm out, come and see it.
Yeah, it's got air conditioning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lots of theatres have air conditioning.
Yeah. In fact, come and see it for the aircon because it's boiling outside.
If you're not busy with Manuel at the Fawlty Towers Experience, definitely check out Consent. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the club.
Yay!
I mean, that's a terrible way of ending. Thank you.